Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. The following was a rebroadcast of a Money Sense episode that originally aired on September 28th, 2023.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Money Sense here on AM360 on this Thursday morning, September 28th. I want to welcome all of you to our program and those that have remained online from our previous program with Dr. Jamal Rashid and Ma'am Henry Hasib. So hopefully we have an interesting program today. That was my hopes. And before we get into that, I'm going to read from the Quran, Surah An-Najm, beginning with the 37th ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وإبراهيم الذي وفى ألا تزر وزرة وزر أخرى وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى Vana sayaku salfa yura Suma yujizahu jaza alfa Wa inna ila rabbika muntaha Sadakallahu azim. And the translation is given by Bibi Yusuf Ali. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And of Ibrahim, who fulfilled his engagements. Namely, that no bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another. That man can have nothing but what he strives for. And that the fruit of his striving will soon be seen. Then will he be rewarded with a reward complete. That to thy Lord is the final goal. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So in trying to put a discussion for today, and normally what I try to do is just touch on some of the things that were predominant with me during the week. And I say, well, maybe this might be a good discussion, inshallah. So, but you're the determiners of that. Especially if you have comments and things. And on this one, your comments are much requested. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what our late lady, Imam W.D. Muhammad, what he was wrestling with in him trying to teach us and bring us into the universe aspect of the Quran, but still giving us what he felt was that we needed. That what we needed, realizing that we have suffered in this country, we've been stripped of our identity as human beings. And this was an effort that many of our leaders over the years have tried to rectify. Especially his father, Adonai Elijah Muhammad. We really came around at a time when we were going through a lot of things, and he would tell us to do for self. That was one of the mantras that was developed from the time that Honorable Elijah Muhammad led us to do for self, because he saw that we had were relying too much on the so-called good graces of the descendants of our slave masters. We had relied too much. So we know that Don Elijah Muhammad, in his efforts to bring us dignity in the world, and how Don Elijah Muhammad would start various businesses, and put it in the community. And he would do it. I can remember it being related that Honorable Muhammad would go to a local butcher. I forgot what nationality butcher was. I mean, probably Caucasian. I forgot what ethnic group it came out of. And asked the butcher to show him how to cut the meat. And with that knowledge, the Honorable Muhammad started your meat market or your butcher. And Honorable Muhammad started a grocery store, and it's called it Your Store. your store. And he started other things in an attempt to ignite in us a passion to build our community, to provide for our own and provide for ourselves. Right? Those of us learn about Muhammad's efforts. And then when we look at Imam Muhammad in his efforts, first it was AMCOP. Right? Then he went from AMCOP to CPC, which is Collective Purchasing Conference. Right? And then he added on to that name, Collective Purchasing Conference. He added on ComTrust. Right? Those efforts. I said, have we ever really thought about why the man did what he did? Why he wanted to establish those things? And is the need, whatever moved the man to establish those things, was there a need for that today? Was there a need to have a thoughtful effort to establish that today? Right? So we need to go back and maybe get some of the reasonings why the man did what he did. Remember Salam Nutrition? Right? Or Graceline Fashions? And I'm sure the man felt that if we can provide for ourselves and quit relying on others to provide, isn't that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said? Quit relying on the white man to do for you what you should be doing for yourself. Is there a need for that today? Or have we made it? Have we solved the problem? For the most part, have we solved that problem? Are we providing for ourselves? And I'm just asking those questions so maybe to get to invoke some thought in your mind. Because if you feel that we have, then this conversation we're going to have today is something historical. I mean, it's almost like going back to the early 1800s and talking about slavery. And say, well, that's history. Those times are gone. I know there are people that aspire to take us back there. And there are some amongst us that aspire to go back there because it was easier on the plantation in their thinking. Master took care of us. He did good. And we don't need to try to do it for ourselves. So those are the conversations I think I would like for us to have today, and not just have it ongoing. And it depends on what you come up with. And maybe it could be ongoing efforts. Because I know that idea attracted me to where I am right now. It attracted me, and maybe, I'm sure, it attracted many of you. So all the things that attracted us then, are they solved? Have they gone away? Do we need them at all? After all, we're Muslims. Alhamdulillah. We're part of the Ummatul Muslimin, the international body of Muslims. And we need where we need to be. I'm a believer in Allah, believe in the Quran. That's all we need. There's no need to talk about the past. There's no need to talk about where we came from. We've arrived now. We've arrived now. There's no more need for that. And because we have arrived into the universal body of Muslims, there's no need to talk about race. Whether there's no race in Islam. Of course, now I'm being facetious now. I don't want y'all to run and tell, man, don't listen to Adam no more, man. He's gone crazy. But I'm looking at our actions. There's no need for that. There's no need to worry about that. Hey, we're Muslims, the international body of Muslims. We're not part of those people no more. And let them go on their own. We have no reason to worry about what they're doing. To speak on the injustice they're receiving. Right? Because they're not Muslim. They're Catholics. I mean, I get all kind of, you know, all kind of stuff that hits me on social media and other places. Even every now and then a live person comes up to me with that. I think the word's going around now that they tell him, don't go to Adam with that because he's gonna challenge you. But I'm sure it's going around. And I'm sure it's out there so much that even some of us who come out of this community are hesitating, are questioning themselves, are questioning whether they are understanding Islam properly. They're questioning themselves, so much so that they balk at trying to defend our community, defend our past. Because they bought into the, well, I don't want to be bidder, but the bidder. I don't want to be a victim of that. So when that conversation comes up, I cower. I don't say things. I don't challenge. And I know for me, I ask Allah never to let me be in such a bad condition in my thinking that I don't defend the community I came out of. Never let me do that. And I'm hoping that I'm speaking to people the same, that think the same. So anyway, we talked about the efforts of the man to establish the CPC, Collective Purchasing Conference, or ComTrust. And all these names have legal meaning. All these names have meaning. ComTrust. Well, why did they name it ComTrust? ComTrust. Well, when I'm doing my research, the com is for community. And the trust that we have put in Imam Muhammad, the trust that we put in Imam Muhammad to send funds knowing that he would do the right thing for us. That's common trust. So the Imam said, I'm going to read a quote from him. Imam said, community is what we have to focus on. God does not speak to us individually in the Quran except for our need to support the collective, the big picture. That's the only reason God speaks to us individually, to help us to be big, to support the whole community, the whole people, not just our individual self. All right? And I remember another lecture man said that the best expression of Islam is in community life. And I remember another in community life. Now I know the bigger picture is talking about the worldwide community, right? But let's look at the smaller. Now I know the micro application of that. And in the micro application of that, we see that every part of the community, when you go, whether it's the Muslim community in Malaysia or the Muslim community in Indonesia or the Muslim community in Africa, whatever, in the microcosm application of that, you see that there are Muslims in their own environment that have established something for their community to help advance their community. The only time it's a problem, is when that language is used by African Americans. They come to us and try to convince us there's no race in Islam. I better go over to the Pakistanis and tell them that.
The only time it's a problem.
Go to the Malaysian and Yemeni and tell them that. You wouldn't have enough nerve to go to them and tell them that. But you come to us with that stuff. You come to us with that stuff. So I tell you, let me play this PSA, and I do see we have a caller that raised their hands and want to make a comment, ask a question. So we'll be right back after this message.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
All right, this is Money Sensei on AM360. I'm Adam B.I. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have 314-833.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam, Imam Adam Beyond, and to your very astute radio listening audience there, AM360. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. This is a good topic. This is a really good topic for reflection on what Imam Muhammad established. But I think the real question is, did we get it then? Or have we come to the conclusion that we should get it now in the implementation? You know, you were saying and giving some quotes by Imam Muhammad, and breaking down contrast, and you're absolutely correct. In addition to that, an addendum, one of Imam Muhammad's addresses to us as a community, he said, I'm elated that you trust me as your leader. He said, but I would want you to trust each other. He said, because I'm one man. He said, I could die at any time. Now, this is wisdom in what the Imam was saying to us. And Adam, I think that you know this has been one of the stumbling blocks. You know, I'm glad you're bringing the topic up. This has been one of the stumbling blocks in our community in terms of trusting each other. You know, Graceline, in terms of striving to establish a credit union for the good of our community that will help to advance our community, as other communities have established, you know, a credit institution. All of these things are very, very important. But if I ask you the question, what has been perhaps one of the biggest obstacles or for anybody that's trying to establish something that is of good, in having the vision that Imam Muhammad had for this community. This was a higher level. See, the work under the Honorable Elijah, and the reason I can say this, having been in the community coming in the 60s, I saw what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was doing in terms of, say, doing for self. This is like the foundation, doing for self, and not depending on others to do for you, taking responsibility. And let me say this, I love those ayats that you recited. No soul can bear the burden of another. Otherwise, nobody can accept a responsibility for another. That's to be looked at in two ways in the Quran, individually and collectively. And then Allah follows that up, 53:39. It says you can only get, the human being can only get what they consciously strive for. And then it's followed up, and soon there will be a manifestation of the effort, the work that you put in to reach that goal. I'm paraphrasing it, but hopefully just to try to simplify that. And the greatest expression, like you said earlier, as Imam Muhammad has said to us, is in community life. It's in community life. Now look at trust. Individually, in any relationship, but there's no trust. Trust is a must. Otherwise, the relationship is a bust. That's what it is. And even in terms of community, you can't move forward in a community if there's no trust. Trust is a must. Otherwise, you don't advance the community life. This is very important. You know, even when Imam Muhammad tried to give us the name Bilalian, a more dignified name, basically, overall, as a community, we wasn't ready for that. Now, we know Bilal ibn Rabah as the first muezzin, the caller to prayer. But do we know that Bilal ibn Rabah was the first treasurer in the community? Do we know that? Do you know you have to have trust? And who gave him that position? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, I could say more, but I'm going to stop here. One of the biggest issues is trust that we have in this community. And I know I may be opening up a, as they say, a proverbial can of worms, but we have to deal with the reality. I'll stop there, Adam. This is an excellent production, an excellent topic in terms of Imam Muhammad taking us to, but this was a higher level in terms of collective purchasing. But that means that we have to trust each other, trust the leader, trust each other, but also, as Imam Muhammad say, I'm one man, and I may die anytime, but you got to be able to trust each other. I'll stop there. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you very much, Brother Mark. Appreciate those comments. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. 914-434. 914-434. As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah, wa alaikum as-salam. This is Muhammad Sharif. This is Mount Vernon. How are you, Imam Adam?
I'm doing good, Brother Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. Thanks for calling in, man.
Wa alaikum. Yeah, this is a good topic from the previous program. You know, you spoke about got the four rivers, education, business, culture, and government. I believe at this point that we have got the education down pretty good. Like the Imam has taught us well instead of 3 years, and now going over to his teachings and lessons for the past, 2008. Yeah, so we can go and ask just about anyone in the community now. So do you know religion? And just about 99.999% would say, yes, I know religion. No. And we have many speakers from different levels, from the bottom to the top. And we just about know religion. Praise to Allah. The man taught us well. And now we're at the second river, business. And I think we are ready now to go further into business and economics. And we know there are a few people, normal people, that's doing pretty well in the business area. And you are one of those. We know your business history. You told us how you got started from college, your first job where you went to working for a big, well-known company. And you moved on from there to open your own business. And you've been did pretty well as a business person. And now you spoke about Collect AmCop and CPC. Mom just mentioning again, but community trust, come trust. So we got the basics now, I believe, in business. We just need the people to come forward now that's ready to go to the next step. And y'all just thinking, you know what, CPC, when they said that, asked us, yes, about people making investments, CPC with $2,000. That was the minimum. So we start with $2,000 and move from there. Now, some people put in $2,000, some you put in, I heard one group had put up $80,000 in CPC. So, and now we just have to complete that now. And just in our local community, now that $1,995, the man says CPC, $2,000. Now, a group we referred back to that a few months ago. $2,000. How many people have $2,000 at hand in a savings account, a checking account, or just have family members come together with $2,000? You know what, 500 people that were going back to CPC, 1995, the man brought it to us. 500 people with $2,000 each. That's $1 million. 500 people with $2,000. That's $1 million. You know, we can raise $1 million a day in this community. Among us, we got $2,000. Just 500 people. Just think of in your local community, in your neighborhood, you got 500 people that got $2,000. Right here, that we're talking in a small group, we're talking right now. We know, it's a number of people that got $2,000 or can get it. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah.
We ain't solved the trust issue yet.
What's that?
And that's the problem. We haven't solved the trust problem yet. Till you solve the trust problem, people are not going to collect their money. It's not a point of whether you have the money or not. But who's going to trust? Who's got this position of trust that somebody's going to send them $500?
No, I was trying to start with the basic is those who have I won't get to the trust yet. I'm telling you, how many people have $2,000? You're not going to send it any place. You're not going to send it to any place. You just want, do you have $2,000? Do we have 500 people got $2,000? You're not going to send the money in place. It's not about a trust back right now. Just do you have $2,000? Can you have $2,000 in your checking account, your banking account, your friends, your family members? Do we have $2,000? Do we have 500 people that got $2,000? If you just keep it in your pocket or in your bank account.
I got
$2,000.
Muhammad, that's what they're doing now. They're keeping it in their pocket. What good is it if it's in their pocket?
That's good if they have it. Some people don't even, we don't have to, but you got $2,000. Okay,
maybe
you got
I'm
in your
maybe
pocket.
I'm
now we'll work. Now we work on the trust factor. Now we work on the trust factor.
Maybe I'm missing your point. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe if somebody else understands what we're talking about, press one. Maybe I'm missing it. All right. It's not about the we know we got some money because every year they advertise to the world that the Americans have $1.8 trillion. They're gonna spend $1.8 trillion next year. They tell everybody, they tell the whole world how much money we're gonna spend. But that's just free advertising to get them over here because they're saying spend it with somebody. Come over here and open a business in their community and they'll spend it with you. And people come over every year, Koreans, Yemenis. There's going to be new people come over next year. You haven't thought about it. And they're going to come over here and open up business in our community so we can spend our money with them. That's the problem. And that's the problem that Imam Muhammad was trying to address. I'm reading from this speech he gave in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
We said the same thing. We're not providing, we're not selling to ourselves, we're not buying from ourselves. And then when African American business people make money, they move somewhere else and make their money. There's very few of them open their businesses in our community. And the man's focus in Chicago was to have money, have businesses in our own communities, to build up our own community. Like, that was the man's focus. So we got money, but the money don't benefit us. It don't establish nothing for us. So, the point about do we have money, that's already been solved. I mean, we know we got the money. We got another person who wants to say something, Muhammad. Let me bring them in. Okay, hold on a second.
All right.
Let's go to 336-722.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam, brother. How are you doing?
Doing good, brother.
I have a simple question to ask. Years ago, Imam Muhammad gave a lecture called Words Make People. So the question is, was he successful or failure among us with that lecture? I would like to hear what the Muslims have to say about that. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. All right, words make people. I guess we got, I don't know if Dr. Jamal's online. I know Brother Micah Fahir has a program, Words Make People. So it's just that to say was be successful in that, or have we learned from that, you have to go back and see how many of us really heard the lecture and know what he said in the lecture to say that. So that would be the first thing that would come to my mind before I start grading people on how we react. And trust me, right now I'm a hard grader when it comes to what the imam taught and what I gleaned from what the imam was teaching us and seeing those actually being applied in real life. Right?
Now, Muhammad, you know and I know, if we're talking about how many people got $50, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably, oh, man, I would guess there would be probably 100,000. Most of them in our community got $50, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're still working on them pooling that $50 towards education. So we don't have to look about we don't have to look at $500 or $1,000. Let's drop it down to 50. And we haven't convinced them that is worthy to send $50 to support a Clara Muhammad school. We haven't even convinced them of that. Now you're talking about 500? And then we have removed the trust factor. You ain't got to deal with trust because you're not sending that $50 to anybody. You're sending it directly to the school. That's one thing I learned. Don't send the money to me. Because I ain't got to deal with it. I mean, one sister called me one time and said, hey, ma'am, Adam, what you doing with the money? I said, what I'm doing with what money?
Uh-huh.
I said, what I'm doing? What I'm doing with what money? And then she was talking about the $50. I said, they're not sending the money to me. Can you imagine if they were sending the money to me? Oh, man, it'd be all over the country. That new car Ma'am Adam bought, that's where he got it from.
Mm-hmm.
You know? he bought him a new car with y'all $50. Well, no, don't send the money to me. Send it directly to the school. You understand? So we're still dealing with the trust factor. Even with that. All right? So,
Now you're at the point where I want to go, and that is, I don't know if everyone listening now, they probably know by this time, how Allah bless you to come with the idea of supporting the schools. You say you had the thought that, you know, I can support, I'll support the schools. Now if I can find 99 more people to join me in that effort, and we'll send the money directly to the school. Allah bless you with that idea to send it directly to the school.
Well, but now, I'm now, saying, like now, I said, you want to know how I came up with the idea, brother? You want to know how I came up with the idea?
Go ahead.
We built a masjid in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Because the state came through, made a right-of-way purchase, and purchased our old masjid property. Gave us $120,000. You know somebody went around the country saying, I stole $120,000. You follow? A baseless accusation. I was in Chicago at a convention, and I went to the men's room, and I was washing my hands, and some brother said, did you hear about that, ma'am? And he was talking to another brother. Did you hear about that, ma'am, in Fairview, North Carolina? He said, no, what? They say he stole $120,000. And they know that I was in there, that who I was. So I turned to him and I said, he did what? I said, he did what? He stole $120,000. We need to hang that bum.
Right.
So I don't want to go around the country that I stole $50 from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, experience told me to know, don't send the money to me. All right, let's go to the phone line. We do have another person on the line. I want to bring them on my hold on, Mama, okay?
All right.
All right, Eric, 724. Sister, if you press 1 again, I'm going to bring you in. 724, Eric, 724.
Assalamu alaikum. It's Sister Gail Muhammad from here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, Sister Gail, okay. I see you. Yes, ma'am.
You know, the issue of trust is very important. But I think what people, as far as like even education, you know, we have come, we're in a society that has provided public education through our tax dollars collectively on a bigger scale. And I think it takes a little while, depending on what, you know, a city or whatever you live in. Now, if the bigger cities where there's the most amount of Muslims have come together and started a school, then it makes it, you know, easier to draw. But I think we need to advertise the success stories of businesses and the schools that are available, because maybe some people don't know. I don't not sure in the Muslim Journal if there's a section with schools. That would probably help, because so many Muslims left the schools and put their children back in public schools, and a lot of the schools closed down. But I think now with the way education is going and things like that, people are – there's more of a need now to homeschool and send your children to public school – I mean private schools, because people see a failure in the public school system, failures. So
that's why Sister Mary Muhammad started the school originally.
But what I'm saying, there was a gap.
She realized it.
Go ahead.
Because when she started the school, she teach her children, the law of the land was you had to send your children to the school that we established. And it was illegal to pull your children at the school and do that. So that's not a problem now.
But that's no longer the case.
Yeah.
Because they were losing.
It was the case in the 70s and the 60s.
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying we know I live in a small town where there's not a lot of Muslims and there's definitely not no school. But over in Youngstown, where before I moved out in this area, they did have a school a long time ago. But as people became more economically established, a lot of them moved to the bigger cities and things like that, because even the building, we don't have the building anymore. It had an auditorium. They did have, a weekend school or something like that. It never evolved into a full-time school. But I think if we need to promote the success stories,
yeah.
We all know about Atlanta. Pardon?
The reason we established the 150, because at that time in 2016, there was only 7 full-time schools that we could identify.
Right,
and
right.
Believe me, that had dropped. That had dropped way down. Right?
Right.
So we established it to stop the bleeding, to be an aid to the schools that were still existing, so they wouldn't have to make that decision like that. And we do have, like the school in Nashville, they just celebrated their 52nd anniversary, and they had a nice fundraiser. They raised $37,000 at their fundraiser. And that's needed. So,
right.
So we came up with it to help, not to be the sole provider or source, but to help.
Right.
And to help the schools. Now, and we've heard of other
parents
that we have other parents that we're going to establish. Well,
right.
Parents can't support a school like that. Our tax dollars
go into the public funds and come back into school districts. And what has happened with all these private schools, they've redirected some of that money, that it doesn't all go to public school. It can all, if the private schools What word I'm looking for? If the private schools have to come up with a formula to get that money, and I think
the concept is the money about education. They do that down in Atlanta. The concept is the money follows the child. That's what's happening in a lot of these
depression-controlled
states. The money follows the child rather than. So if a child goes to a private school, then the money follows it. And that's one of the things that they're doing, which is, again, taking money out of the public schools. And most African Americans are in public schools. It's a political thing. It's a political thing. But even with that.
And then we have to learn that because of coming out of that public school free education, you didn't have to really pay like a tuition because it was already paid for, then over time the people's words and mind, their mind has to change with the being educated to see the benefit, and then they will take their money and invest it in their child to pay the tuition because, you know, it's just a mind shift. And it's slowly coming about because we're seeing the value more in private education than in public. And I think it's just taking time.
Let me say one thing now. Let me say one thing. The public schools will not produce what we're looking for. They will not produce what we need for our future.
But they have.
And
it's
more of us.
Most of us, I don't know, because I've never been from a big city, but the public schools have produced good. We can't say that because I don't know. I would say the majority of African Americans come through the public school system, and they have been successful coming through that. But is that the only way? Because now there's been a shift in that. Were you public?
The following was a rebirth.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Everyone, we pray that you're still with us because we are beginning the CWSC National Town Hall Straight to the Point in Service to Humanity, a 50-year plan, human family plan, initiated right here on the intelligentsia of CWSC AM 360, American Muslim 360 broadcast. We're going to go to a pause. Stay right with us as our moderators began to pray.
Assalamu alaikum.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Peace be unto you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we'd like to welcome everyone to New Day Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So today, we would like to speak to you in this month of February that is still designated Black History Month or African American History Month. We'd like to speak to you about issues in the African American community and the African American Muslim community. And with that in mind, I'd like to play a clip from Imam W. Muhammad on that particular subject. And here we go.
Popular it is to give up your moral life. There are always those who are industrious by nature. They love work, and their souls call for work. And they will never be idle. They will never accept unemployment. They will work for themselves if their factory shuts down that they were working for. They will never be out of work. So God has made man special. God has made the human being very special. He cannot be destroyed by what man does, even though man, knowingly or unknowingly, may take up the plan of the Satan, the Shaitan, the Satan, the devil himself, and give the way of the devil freedom to take over the lives of families and neighborhoods by letting his scheme be established over our life or in our lives. But there are always a few, Christians and others. I have known Christian neighborhoods, no liquor stores here. And they were so united that they were able to keep liquor stores out of their neighborhoods. They didn't want liquor stores because liquor stores bring other things that they don't want and other people that they don't want who care nothing about life, care nothing about civilization, care nothing about morality, and they didn't want that disease in their neighborhoods, in their Christian neighborhoods, so they organized and put enough pressure on the governments, on the town office to keep the church, the community, the neighborhood for the church, save it for the church, and keep the taverns out. My heart goes to Christians like that. I'm with them, and I just hope that one day we will see the common good, the common interest for righteous people, for people fearing God and wanting their life to please their Lord, Creator. I'm hoping that the day will come where we will not see people struggling to save the environment for their life that they want. And we Muslims will look at them and, oh, those are Christians. No, we'll say those are our people. Those are people of our souls and people of our spirit. That's what I'm hoping for. We Muslim leaders, we talk about what we're supposed to do. We talk about we shouldn't allow liquor to be on our table. We should keep halal, word and Jewish for the Jews is kosher. We should keep our life halal, keep our homes halal, our food halal, keep all of this halal. But you see another person out there struggling to keep the neighborhoods you live in, and you just two on the block. The neighborhood belonged to them, and you see them struggling to make it a decent neighborhood, and you just ignore what they're doing. You don't identify with their suffering, with their concerns. You don't identify with their work. You are not a part of it. You act as though you are from Jupiter or Mars or somewhere, and you just walk right by them and walk right away from what they are doing, as though it's forbidden for you to join the good work to make the place better for human life under God. We can't continue to do that. That won't work. The state of the world is not good at all. I believe we're living in the end of time. The end of time as prophesied. Not the end of time for the natural system created by God. Not the end of time for the sun that rises that we all know. Not the end of time for the night that comes and the day that comes. No, we will still have night and day. Not the end of time for trees and plants and other things and animals that we love and the rivers and whatever that we love and the beautiful life that grows upon the earth. Not the end of time for that. The end of time according to prophecy. The end of time for man to go away from the calling of his best nature. I repeat, the calling of his best nature, which is there because God made human beings for that best nature. God didn't make us for the foolishness. He didn't make us for the nasty life that some of us love to live. He made us for the best that is in human nature. And our religion stresses the best. God says to us in the Quran, he gives us the Quran. The Quran is a history. The Quran is a teaching, a guidance, but it is also history. So we read about how other people live when we read the Quran, those that were good and those that were not good. We read about the destruction of the corrupt ones. We read all of this. And if we are not careful while reading, if our appetites are corrupt, we'll be reading and thinking we are reading guidance, and we'll be reading warnings against pitfalls. And we'll be thinking we'll be reading guidance. We'll be reading of a people who are proud and boastful while doing wrong things, lose the full picture, and we will think that God is saying that it's okay to be that way. I know persons who have fallen victim to that. They'll be reading something and think that's to be applied to Muslim life. Muslims are supposed to be like that, boasting. When if they would read it clearly and keep the connections, read it in the proper connections, read it with the proper connections and in the right context, they would clearly understand that this is not what God wants for us or for human beings. This is what God is condemning. And they take it and they become believers in what is not Islam, thinking that it is Islam. So God says to us in the Holy Book, speaking of, addressing the contents of the book, he said, and take the best thereof. Science says that life advances because it's selective. It doesn't feed on that will corrupt it, deform it, destroy it. It looks for the better food, and selecting the food continues to grow and develop. And it looks for the environment. A bird will put its nest anywhere. It looks for the best environment. Even a low animal looks for a clean place to start a family. God speaks to our nature, the better nature in us, and says, and take the best thereof. God says of the Quran, this the book has been made allegorical with metaphors, with pictures, with words that say one thing and make a common person see one thing, but it is
during the President's Day sales event at the Kia of White Plains. You can make hope, still hit us with commercials.
But it is addressing something entirely different. Something different, entirely different. But using these pictures to get our attention in hopes of us learning how to translate the pictures into the language that we are supposed to read and understand. For understanding. So God said the book had been made allegorical and basic. Listen carefully. And basic. The basic teachings are the plain language teachings that any ordinary person with the ability to read or to listen to language and understand can understand. But the book is also allegorical, difficult to understand, even by educated people, if they are not experienced or used to hearing the language of Scripture. Experienced in or used to hearing the language of Scripture. So, and God continues, he says, and those in whose hearts is a disease, they prefer the allegorical over the plain teachings. That's why we have so much un-Islamic behavior in the Muslim world. We leave the common sense plain teaching and pick up that we think gives us the freedom to do wrong in the name of righteousness. When we look at the world, I'm a lover of nature. I travel a lot because of the situation I'm in as your leader. I've traveled a lot, playing by over mountains. So I see mountaintops that many people will never see from my neighborhood. I see mountaintops. And I love science, so I read about mountains too. There are mountains that are old and worn out. No place for the skiers to have their fun skiing on the icy tops, the icy slopes. Worn out. No vegetation growing on them, like a bald-headed old man. Nothing there to attract anybody. No water flowing down from the melting ice to form rivers, new rivers to attract animals and other life and make fertile basins or fertile land on each side of the river, like the River Nile that comes down from the mountains of Ethiopia and flow down and cut through the land, leaving a picture behind that resembles the form of a snake. No rivers. Most of the governments of the world today offer no spiritual support, no spiritual help to the soul and spirituality of their people. No don't think of the physical mountain out there somewhere in the geography of this earth, in Asia or Africa or somewhere in Europe. See this as a description as something that is in your own life, a mountain that is in your own makeup. And then look outside and see if you can find the world having something that you like that, that you want in yourself established to serve people in the world. You know, water is a fascinating, good, fascinating thing, water. Science describes it as H2O. Gases that in a certain combination become liquid water. Hydrogen 2 gas, and I know because I'm a welder, and oxygen in my work. Hydrogen 2 and oxygen 1, H2O. Those two gases, the molecules of them, they come together and form what all life must have, water. And God says in the Quran, also in the Bible, in different language, maybe different words, maybe in different contexts too, but it's there. All life began in water. All life began in water.
We're going to take a pause now, pause for the cause. We have some important announcements for you, and we hope that you're enjoying that presentation. So stay tuned. Please don't touch that dial. We will be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for supporting the CWSC AM360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows: the American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network, Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, the Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Teams, working together, such as with the Learning Lab, Intrafaith and Interfaith Collaborative, Internship and Leadership Development Programs, Ambassador Programs, and International Collaboratives. Please visit us online to see more of the Intelligentsia and the annual report. For your mailing in your donation, you can send it to CWSC Inc., Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Make your check or money order payable to CWSC. Thank you. And stay tuned for more information on the Ramadan Telethon.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. So we want to give you another couple of minutes of this wonderful presentation by the Imam, and we will come and take your questions and your comments.
Human beings is a very special flesh. A very special flesh belonging to the flesh that God made. Because God made the sheep flesh. God made the goat flesh and many other animals flesh. God made many low creatures flesh. Worms flesh, huh? He made us flesh. That we are very special flesh. When we hurt, water comes down from our sky, from the mountain. Water comes down. It rolls down our cheek. And we don't have to be sad for water to come down. We can be so happy. Water come down from the eyes of the mountain and roll down our cheek. And God says in our Holy Quran, the same as in the Bible. Again, maybe in a different context, different language and context, but it's there. Said it is God that created you. It is your creator that created the sky and the earth and trees and everything. The one that created you, he created you to have laughter and tears. God created you to have that. So if this is mentioned in Scripture, then it's mentioned because this is very special and unique for human beings, that we cry tears of sadness and tears of joy and tears of joy. Now, if no rivers are coming down from the mountain, what has happened? There's no feelings anymore. No rivers coming down? No feelings anymore. Allah says in the Quran, and there are some rocks that are shaken, and they open and split and release water. Water comes from them. Rock, hard thing. So when our leadership, our leaders and our leadership become so hardened that they can't feel the suffering of the society, can't respond to the needs of the suffering souls in the society. They have become dried up, maybe, like that bald-headed mountain that I saw from the plain. Or maybe there is water, but it just kept up in the top of the mountain. It has hardened, and nothing has heated it up. But we know people like Dr. King, many before him and after him, they had the power to speak and warm up the climate, cause the ice to melt in the government, in the top of the mountain, and roll down as rivers, so we can have new life and beauty on the land. Yes, we know that. Yes. Allahu Akbar. I don't know. It's okay. Are you hearing me all right out there? What about back in the, all the way back? Yes, they're hearing. I have almost as many years as he is old experience talking to mice. Praise be to God. Now, why is water so important in religion? I've mentioned already that God says every living thing had its beginning in water. And we know it's important to the church. In the church rituals, the water is important. Important to Muslims in our worship, and especially on the Hajj, the yearly trip we make to the holy, the common house of all people, called Bayt al-Ula, or Bayt, the first house built for mankind in the worship of God. This is not talking about the water we drink. The water we drink is just a symbol, a picture, a sign of the water in our own human makeup, in our psyche, in the human soul and psyche, in the human feelings and concerns. That's the water. That's the real water. That's the real water, you see. And just as water makes us feel better, even spiritually. When we are sweaty or dirty, and we get into that shower, and that water begins to work on that filth and sweat, oh, you feel so good, you run the water bill up. Don't want to come out of the shower. So God has created the world without to speak to us of the world within. And the world without is the sign. The world within is the real life. And God has made the world without to support the good life we want within, as long as it doesn't become corrupt or too polluted or too confused, getting away from the laws that God intended. It served us well. We're living in a time, I said, that I believe to be the fulfillment, the time of the fulfillment of prophecy. God says, unto me, you all must return. That's what God says. He says he created us from one soul. That means we had one spiritual origin. One spiritual origin. We come from one spiritual life, our Father. And we all are one in that spiritual life. And we may choose to go against that spiritual life that God intended for us. And we may take on spirits that will be working against the true human spirit that God created for us. But God said, and you'll go your separate ways, and you will make your problems with each other. But one day, you all have to return. Now, looking again at water as a symbol, as a message to us, of what's in the soul or psyche of human person. The water in the mountaintops, I'm a student of science, too. I'm not a scientist. I think I might be a little bit somewhat of a scientist. But I know I'm a student of science. I've loved it ever since I read the first book or had the teacher tell me the first thing about science. I loved it. I've been a student of science. But anyway, I've learned that rivers come from mountaintops. Would you think that? You wouldn't think that. Science have to tell us these things. Or someone who have experienced walking up in the mountains and been around the mountain enough to see what happens could tell us those things. The ice in the top of the mountain, when it melts, it runs down the mountain and it forms rivers. The Nile River, as I mentioned earlier, is formed in a high mountain in Ethiopia. And the water comes down, I don't know if it's millions of years old. We don't know how old it is, you know. Formed the river called the River Nile, which is said to be the longest river on earth. And that river is two colors according to the African people, Ethiopian people. I think it's white. And I believe, or blue. I'm not sure. But when it passes through Egypt, it's a different color. I believe the white Nile is from Ethiopia, and the blue Nile is there. But I'm sure that there are two colors. They call it white Nile and blue Nile. Longest river on earth. And the whole Egyptian people, depended on the Nile for their economy, their food supply, and their economy. Because the Nile would bring fertile earth from other places, at the same time giving the land water, keeping the land watered from other places, and the river runs, so the river washes the fertile soil to both sides and keeps the land fed with the water so more than grow. Now, the river long, as I said, so enough to sustain the land. And at one time, according to biblical history, at one time Egypt was the breadbasket for the whole world, for the whole known world, that people came from all over. The story of Joseph tells us that. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own people, his own brothers. And we end up being discovered by the rulers that he was there. They discovered him because it was the word was getting around that Joseph was a seer. He could see the future. So the country was beginning to enjoy bad times, being threatened. And the Pharaoh wanted to bring him up, the ruler, bring him up to him and talk to him and see what he thought of what was happening to his rule. So he liked him so well, he made him, took him in, and the Pharaoh's wife, the big lady, fell in love with him. They put him over the storehouses. They put him in charge of the distribution of food, goods. So that tells us that at one time, according to Scripture, Egypt had become so productive in food products and other things too, that people were coming from distant lands in hopes of getting some food or some help from Egypt. Now, you know, America is like a modern Egypt. Yes. It has this high mountain, and it has this Nile River, and it has this Joseph sold into slavery. And then today, Joseph is about to be put over the storehouse. And he's going to be kind to his brothers who sold him into slavery. When the brothers of Joseph came in bad times to Egypt that was doing well to get some rations, some help, when they saw Joseph, they thought, oh, it's hopeless now. Egypt got him over the storehouse. We sold him into slavery. But they found him to be Just what they didn't expect, they found him to be a brother. Didn't charge his suffering brothers with the crimes. He ignored the crime. He put that crime aside, and he gave them help. Wonderful story, a beautiful story. But it's not just a story of Jews or of Arabs or of African Americans or blacks. It's the story of every people who suffers such thing occurring in the life of that people to make them slaves or helpless in the society. Physical slavery made us helpless like that. But after we were physically free, mental, as Mr. Farad said, mental slavery or mental death put us in a bad situation like that, where we could not make it on our own, stayed down, couldn't get up. Even though a few of us had the strength to try to get up and did get up, majority of us did everything to see that they failed, that they did not succeed. That's because mentally we are dead.
Alhamdulillah. Wonderful, beautiful, beautiful teaching. So we have some other important announcements to bring to you. And so please, you're listening to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Please don't touch that dial. We'll be right back in a short while.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Alhamdulillah, we're back. So now we're going to open up the phones for your questions and comments. Please press 1 on your phone and we will bring you into the queue. If you would like to share with us your point of view on what our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh was sharing with us, press 1 on your phone. We'll bring you into the queue. All right, 727 741. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Martha Naila Abdullah, calling from St. Peter, Berkeley, Water, Florida. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Well, alaikum salam, my sister. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Praise be to Almighty God, and thank you for being here, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your being here, and to all our listeners, God's peace be upon you, and for the sharing of the Imam's words. First thing that caught me was the connection, the alliances that we should make, and the caring for where we are, caring of the environment, I guess I should say. Caring of the environment, and for those who are doing good work, joining along with, rather than bypassing them to recreate the wheel, reinvent the wheel is how we usually say it. But that was on my mind because of this being this month recognized for African American history here in Florida. It's been rehashed now about the Dozier Boys. Or the Dozier, you know, it was a boys' home, and all of the uncovering of the unearthing of their bodies that were, you know, abused, and of course they were said that they had run away, and among other things that's happening throughout the country. And then the Imam referencing how, you know, the last part about the displeasurable things that happened to us, and how turning to Almighty God has to be the emphasis, and how the revenge, as he spoke about Egypt and the selling into slavery, the outcome of it all is that we still have to take a stand. I'll leave it right there and be promoters of true human spirit. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. We appreciate the way the Imam made that connection for us. 321-917. State your name and where you're calling from, please. 321-917. Okay. And
can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, this is 972. I had pushed the button, but
okay.
That is. I mean, I like what the man was referring to. I was in and out, but one thing I was going to look into when he was talking about the Joseph with his brothers. I know at one point the brothers in leadership were the ones that wanted to throw him in the well, but by the time Joseph had come to where he was in the position, it was a different group of brothers that were in leadership. So I think that plays a lot into it. And I wish I had more time to go into it, but thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes. So now we'll go to 321-917. State your name, where you calling from, please. 321. All right. I'm not hearing.
Can you hear me, man?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes, sir. Go right ahead. I'm not hearing you now for some reason. 321-917.
What about now, Imam?
Yes. I can hear you good now.
I'm by this mute button and the speaker button, so I'm making this, making a mistake there. The Lacey Umar, Melbourne, Florida. Appreciate
yes,
your...
Sir.
Appreciate very much you sharing with us that lecture. And, you know, I wanted to just say, when I'm listening to the Imam, I try to listen to his spirit, not just what he's saying, but his spirit, how he's bringing what he's saying to us. And when he's on a topic of very, very important, you can sense it in your spirit that the Imam is addressing something that's very important. And the way he connected the human being with nature and pointed out the similarities. Also, also, I appreciated the ending where you ended, where you talked about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam as being the story of people, of oppressed people who had went through these same circumstances, no matter what the color. I thought that was very profound. But most time, and especially this month, we get into the habit of thinking, feeling like we were the victims, so to speak, where this is actually a conspiracy against the weak and the poor. There's always this conspiracy from the high up to extract resources from the less, from the vulnerable masses, So we appreciate it. Thank you so much, Imam, for keeping us alert to these things and pointing out and picking valuable topics. We appreciate you very much. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
We appreciate you. Walaikum assalam. All right. Anyone else? Press 1 on your phone. We'll bring you into the queue. You can make your comment or ask your question. But yes, I too am a student and a fan, if I can use that language, of Imam W.D. Muhammad. The more we go back and research him, and the way he makes those what he referred to as sacred life connections. Sacred life connections. Talking about water and the importance of water in religion, in our religion, of course. You know, water, how we make the wudu, wudu, and the ghusl, you know, the bath, you know, how we have to wash up, that we have to be in wudu, you know, for our five daily prayers, you know, how the Christians have baptism, they're baptized in the water. And there's a famous saying of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he asked the question, if a man were to bathe in the river 5 times a day, would there be any stain on him or any filth or any dirt on him? And they said, no, you know. And he likened that to the 5 daily prayers, you know, the 5 daily prayers, you know, how it cleanses us, you know. And we are in a very special time, you know, as we prepare for the blessed month of Ramadan. That's fast approaching, the blessed month of Ramadan. So we still have a few minutes if anyone would like to join the discussion, ask a question or make a comment. Press 1 on your phone. We'll bring you in. I don't see anyone as of right now. So maybe we will just continue with the topic at hand. You know, someone said to me, or they wrote to me, they were texting me, a pretty lengthy text, and they were talking about the human being, and their perspective was, the human being is naturally selfish. That was their point of view. The human being is naturally selfish, you know. And I had to share with them that that was not our belief. Our belief is not that the human being is naturally selfish, but just quite the opposite, you know. And you have to look at the creation, study the creation. You have to study the creation. And if you study the creation of the human being, you'll see that the human being starts out, you know, in the body of another human being, the mother. And the mother, all of the nutrients and vitamins and everything that the mother takes in is passed on to the new life that's inside of us. And even when the child comes out, the umbilical cord is still there. It has to be cut. It has to be cut. Showing the connection, the physical connection, but also we know there's a spiritual connection. There's a spiritual connection between mother and child, father and child, as the Quran actually talks about the mystic ties of parent and child. The mystic ties of parent and child. And we are urged to read this miracle of the Quran during the month of Ramadan. Of course, we should, and we should want to read the Quran, read this book all year round. All year round, you know. But we are urged to complete the whole book during the month of Ramadan, that we read a juice, which is 1/30th of the Quran, so that at the end of 30 days, 29 or 30 days, we'll mostly have it completed, you know, the entire thing, 30 over 30 equals 1, alhamdulillah. So the Imam weaved and made those sacred life connections between Yusuf, sold into bondage and slavery, and our plight here in the wilderness of North America, the wilderness of North America, you know. And our brother, Brother DeLacy, he just said how, you know, he made that connection between all people that are made the slaves of other people in one way or another. So maybe they haven't been made the physical, they haven't experienced the physical bondage to that degree that we did, but the entire world is under the bondage of wrong thinking, you know. And you know, I always emphasize security for us. And they just sent me a video of some crazy person that entered into a masjid in New York, here in I believe it was Long Island, and began to harass. It was a sister and a brother there. They were the only ones that appeared to be there. And he was walking around and being very disrespectful and talking about free the hostages and so forth. Now, what in the world did those people in that masjid in Long Island have to do with what's going on over there? But we all one. It's one world. It's one world. And so he shouldn't have been allowed to come in like that. We can't have the same lackadaisical attitude that they had at the Mother AME Church in South Carolina. A man then, it's like he was engaged in Bible study and shot and killed 9 people. So our awareness has to come up. And talking about it with some of the imams this morning, they were saying some people leave the doors open all day so people can come in and out for prayer. This is not the time for that. We're not living in a time for that. Those people have to be allowed in. You have to have someone acting as security. You need cameras. If you don't have people that are trained, you should seek out that training. Reach out for me. I can help you with that. Someone should be assigned to that. That brother and sister could have been hurt or killed. And while I don't know the particular circumstances, why there was no one there, you know, but we come from a background, from the Nation of Islam, where we were taught and trained better than that. And people thought we were crazy. They thought we were crazy for checking, that we would check bags and search the people coming in. Now, that's not always a practical thing to do, to go that far in all cases. But I can remember during the time of leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad when he was physically with us, and I myself provided metal detectors for people to walk through so that they wouldn't be that intrusive a search unless someone triggered it like you do at the airport. They won't search you unless you trigger a response from the metal detector. Then they will hand search you, look into your bags and everything. So we have to be in that place. And in Israel, you're talking about they're going to time their offensive against our brothers and sisters in Gaza with the month of Ramadan, which they know is a holy month. Some people are that wicked. But we have to realize that there was a battle. The Battle of Badr took place during the month of Ramadan. So we pray a lot that all of you remain vigilant and remain safe out there. We thank you for listening to New Day Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 Edition. My name is Yusuf Ramadan. And until next time, we pray that you stay healthy and safe, that you have a blessed Juma. And until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Little helping hand along the way. away. Try to make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta
be grateful for my life. And all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, the stars that light the night, friends at last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He say, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright. You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference. In any way you can, you gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to cause. And I say the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for less and more. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference. Any way they can, they've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand.